the very, very important thing in becoming drunk is not leaving behind everything that you had beforehand. In other words, if a fellow liked to play guitar before he became frum, there's nothing wrong with him playing guitar now. If a fellow is a mountain biker beforehand, it's just because he's frum now. I mean, Shiva Bocha, so, you know, did Rishach ride a mountain bike? Yeah? So, it's Pasnish I'll ride a mountain bike. Does Rishach play guitar? Come on. You know, was Rishach a photographer? That's not healthy. It's very, very unhealthy. The creature comforts that you're used to, there's nothing wrong with taking them with you unless they're mafria you in your avodas Hashem. Unless you're so caught up in them they can't concentrate in growth, then you should leave them behind. But there's no reason why a person can't continue living a healthy lifestyle and a comfortable lifestyle just because he's frum.
Is it possibly shown why Abraham had to split from Lot because the chashu had become too much?
We will see. I'm going to discuss it later in a minute. Lot is a very, very fascinating character. But it's Koruchushma Shirachoshim means Abraham didn't say, okay, starting a new life now, leave all my money behind, I'm going to live like a real pauper. No, he took all his wealth with him. But Koruchushma Shirachoshim, he took his baggage with him that he had in the past, and he kind of carried on living with that. As long as it doesn't disturb you, as long as it does. Other rubber. It's very helpful, it's very useful to be able to have assets to help you along, if you have it. But it's not a mafriya, unless, if it's a mafriya, it's a mafriya. If it's not a mafriya, gesundheit. Okay? This pas b'melech teichel. Pas b'melech teichel is pshat, according to many paskim. You should be ready to have pas b'melech teichel. Not that it's a chiyah to have pas b'melech teichel. You should be ready to pas b'melech teichel. According to many pshat, that's pshat. You should be ready to be pas b'melech teichel. Learning should not stop if you reach a stage of pas b'melech teichel. But it's not a condition that I have to pas b'melech teichel. Rebbe was one of the wealthiest people. He never had everything on his table. He never had enough from it because he didn't need to. But the Gemara says that ba'is noy, isha noy, kelim noyim, marchivin daita shel odom. They open up, they give a person peace of mind. They help him learn.
Where's that going?
I don't remember. Is it Brochus? Okay.
I didn't see it. Sorry.
The pasuk carries on. The pasuk says. They left to go out to Eretz Canaan and they reached Eretz Canaan. I discussed this last year very briefly, that the difference between Avram Avinu and Terach, or in the last parasha it says Vayikach Terach as Avram Benoi, Ve'es Loit Ben Horam Ben Benoi Ve'es Sorek Alofa Ish Avram, Ve'yetsu Itim Or Kastim, to leave Eretz Canaan. And they came to Choron and they dwelt there, which means they left to go to Eretz Yisrael, but they came to Choron and they stopped. This week's parasha says, the difference between Avram and Terach was, Terach started off on the journey and he stopped halfway, he collapsed halfway, finished, quite happy where I am, that's it. Avram being started off on the journey and he got there. Many people start off with grandiose things I want to do. It gives a person, you can see a person can be successful if they finish what they're doing. You make a seam on something, you start from one thing and you finish all the way to the end. That is different to Avram and Terach. Terach also wanted to do something. Yeah, but after a few days of Dafayomi, he stopped. Yeah? A fellow who goes all the way through Dafayomi, day after day, winter, summer, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Chanukah, summer holidays, winter holidays, Erev Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, every day he goes all the way Shabbos every day. It's hot, and not dealing with the people themselves, something with Magid Shir. The Magid Shir, day after day after day after day. This is Avram. That's Avram Avinu. That's a poshut. You reach the destination. The shaila is Roshat Vayetz the Leches Atzkanon by Voya Atzkanon. He didn't know where he was going to. Avram didn't know where he was going to. Vayetz the Leches Atzkanon. He left to go to Eretz Canaan, and he came to Eretz Canaan. How did he know? Hashem said, I'll show you there. How did he know he's going to Eretz Canaan? When he left, how did he know? The answer was, I'm going where Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to go. I leave with the same enthusiasm when I started off, and I actually got there, I have the same enthusiasm. All the way through. There's been no difference, Bechlal. When I came to Eretz Canaan, I saw, wow, I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Gewaldig, fantastic. When I left, the same enthusiasm I left, Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to. and vice versa as well. Sure. When I actually left, I left with I'm starting off something new, a whole new journey. When I got there, fantastic, I'm here now. The same all the way through. Consistency. Consistency is a key. Is a key to success. Yeah.
But isn't it like, just from past experience, it's always you're inspired at the beginning, and after time, the inspiration goes. And shows up. What was different about Avram Avinu that he was able to keep that inspiration? I mean, Beteva, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like he went against Beteva to do that, but... it's not like...
No, for sure it's not easy. For sure it's not easy. The terrace is, you have to, what you have to do is, the Bala Musa say, when you're inspired, you've got to take on something immediately. Hmm. Immediately. If you're inspired to do something, take on something immediately, something small, and be consistent. And you'll keep what you have. There's rice for it, I don't remember exactly where. By Nozir and by Roy Sotibel Kulkula, take on something small. Immediately take on something and keep going on that thing. Keep going. Get yourself into good habits. You get people in good habits, always finding a meaning. Get people in bad habits, either yes or no. Get into good habits. Get yourself into a routine where not too routine, because otherwise you don't think what you're doing, but into a routine where you're keeping going. Okay. I want to discuss a little bit about Loit. Perikid Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Loit is a very, very, very complex character. Extremely, extremely complex. You have to understand where Loit is. Loit is somebody who Avraham Avinu took with him as a support system. Must have been good. And what was Loit's end? He ends up living in Sodom. Sodom is like, you can't imagine the pits of the world. There's never been a single city that's been overturned like Sodom since. Never. Never. Besides New Orleans last year. But there's because there's some bad stuff happening there. But that happens. But there's never a city that's totally destroyed where it's completely turned upside down. It's the most terrible place. Loit was a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, and he ends up in Sodom. What happened to his children? We're never allowed to marry his children. Amun and Moav, that's it. The Sidra Shlimosam to Vasa Kolyom, never ever seek them out. Never. But where's David Melech come from? Where's Mashiach come from? No. From Loit. So what's going on? Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? What happened to him? So I went through the parasha, the Medrash carefully, and I picked up a few points over here. And Rabbi Isaac, this is a key for life. It's a key to understanding human behavior. The Pasuk says in Perikud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says over there, Vayisa Loit Mikedem. Loit travels from Kedem. What's Kedem? From the Mizrach, says Rashi. Noso Me'etzo Avram. He traveled from Avraham. V'holach Loi Marov Shel Avram. He went to Marov. The Medrash Agada. He traveled away from Avraham Avinu, and he said, "I will nothing to do with, not with Avraham and not with this God." Now, where did Medrash get that from? There's an argument over here. Does Eretz belong to us? Does not belong to us? Already now, already later. So Avraham Avinu says to Loit, "You know what, Loit? Let's separate. You go your way, you go my way. There'll be plenty of pastors for both of us, and that's it." Loit said, "You know what? Good idea." Says Medrash, he's an Apikoros. Apikoros. Efshi Adoram not Avram and not Elokov. Who said? Maybe he wants Avram and Elokov. But Poshut, he has a Tchembe Salmaman. He has a very strong desire, he's a Ganav. But Efshi becomes an Apikoros just because he doesn't mouth with animals. Why is an Apikoros? So Reuven Grozovsky, not to be confused with Shmuel Grozovsky, Reuven Grozovsky says that this. He said the problem that Avraham Avinu got rid of Loit was that he refused to take Musa. Stage one of Loit was he had no drive to change or to grow. He had no strive to change or to grow. The fact that Avraham Avinu was Mechiachim and told him about his animals and he refused to take Musa, that was stage one. Stage one was he wasn't interested to grow. Avraham Avinu, the greatest Makarav in the world, says, you know what? I'm sorry, if you don't want to grow anymore and you want to stay stagnant, we can't be together anymore. There's nothing we don't have a common language anymore. There's nothing we can do. So he didn't want to grow. Avraham Avinu realized that if that's the case, he is an apocryphalist. Why? Because the first stage is not willing to not wanting to grow, not striving to grow. Stage number two is the Torah says that Yisrael looked as Enoch. Lot picked up his eyes. This is in a Pasuk Yud. The Yaris to Kikar HaYarden, and he saw the plains of the Yarden that is very well irrigated. Esedoyim veEsamira, he saw the wonderful things. Stage two is when Torah is no longer a drive. A person, because of his neshama, to reach certain levels, sees a big dazzling world out there, and he looks to fulfill himself with other forms of satisfaction. So number one, he no longer wants to grow in Torah. Second stage is, if it's not Torah, then he begins to look at a big dazzling world, and he says, you know what? It's not Torah. You know, yeshiva's not really for me. You know, I'm quite happy where I am. Yeshiva's not really for me. Goes back home, you know, he hears his friend got a top job in some kind of, in some futures, and he's, he gets v'yisa enof, he sees his eyes, mamash, he sees a glow of Sodom v'Amora. He sees a glow of Sodom v'Amora, and he's already, you know, he's has nachrayus, he's got to make money, you know, he's got to make money. I sitting in yeshiva and manages still now without making money, but he has nachrayus, he's got a job, right? That is, if you're not doing well in what you're doing, that's the Yisra Enov, and he sees a dazzle. That's stage two. Yeah. Stage three. No, sorry? The point is, if you don't want to, if you're not growing in Torah, then you're going to start looking for other things. Yeah. Stage three is the pasuk says, "Hisiya atzmei bekadmeinu shel olam." Then he becomes an apocryphalist. Once a person doesn't learn anymore, he starts looking for a dazzling thing, he has a guilty conscience. His guilty conscience drives him to start making a shitter of what he's doing. Start making a shitter of what he's doing. That it's not, you know, the reason why I'm working, not because to make a panasa, you know, because the rabbis aren't really serious about what they're doing, and I don't know, I'm not even sure whether Bechlal Yiddishkeit's for me. He starts making a shitter out of it. That's the third stage. And that's what he's saying over here. Once, that's the third stage over here, but he took himself mekadmeinu shel olam. That he picked himself up. The first, he had an argument, he never went through the argument. He never changed. Second stage, he saw the glitter. First stage is, says Rashi, says Medrash Haggadah, that he became an apocryphalist. He made a shitter out of it. He said, I want nothing to do with it. And the fourth stage is that he became Vayehal Ad Sodom. The Pasuk says, Vayehal Yoshua Oyakika Vayehal Ad Sodom, he became what you call a total Shoina Opirish. He became a person who knew, and he became a person so absorbed in the world, in the troubles of the world, he became Ad Sodom. He became Mamish a Sodom guy. He Mamish became from Sodom. From being a Ben Yeshiva, he became a guy from Sodom. Do you know how many people I've met, and I'm sure you've met as well, people who were learning in yeshivas in Volozhin and in Kletsk and in the big yeshivas, and today they're apokorsim. You've never met such people? I've met people from Volozhin, I've met people from different places that are apokorsim. You cannot believe what apokorsim they are. You should know that in the time of communism, the biggest communists were yeshiva bochrim who turned Rahman al-Itzlan, who turned into communists. You have no idea. You can't imagine how bitter these people are. And they bring riots, and they bring proofs, and they this, and the more they learn, the more they use it against Yiddishkeit. Avraham Avinu said to Lot at this stage, you know what? You're making shit out of it. I'm the biggest Makarov. I have nothing else to offer you. Leave. He couldn't throw his own son out, but he can throw out Lot. He's the biggest Makarov, he took him with him. But you know what? If you don't want to learn, and you've been attracted to other things, and you're making shit out of it, there's nothing I can ever come into contact with you again. Not me and not my children. Even my children, you're not allowed to marry your children from generation to generation. None of my children, Amon and Moab, have nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. Because somebody who has a root of being a person who learned and now, you know, sort of he knows better, it's so much more difficult to make a person one of these kids who went off to Derech and to bring them back again. Kiruv Kerovim is a thousand times more difficult than Kiruv Rechekim. Because the kids know all the answers and they've seen Shabbos and everything else. And the Taiva, very few people go off Yiddishkeit today because of Aristotle. Or because of Freud. Very, very few people. What do they go off? They go off because of Taiva. And therefore they make a whole shit out of it. Make a whole shit out of it. You know, it's because it's a from people and it's all rubbish. Somebody came to Chaim Brisk. A fellow runner for Derech went to Chaim Brisk and started giving a whole list of questions to him. It's a fellow runner for Derech. So Chaim Brisk said to him, Oifa Kasha Hotman Ateretz. Or Oifa Teretz Nishka Teretz. On a Kasha there's an answer. But on an excuse, there's no answer. If you're asking a kasha, I'll give you an answer. But if an answer has no answer. You want to say, that's all answers. That's not questions. Avraham Avinu told Lot, you're playing that game, you're off to Derech. You've seen the desire, you don't want to change anymore. You've seen the glitter. I'm sorry, there's nothing else I can do for you anymore. Leave, and my children and your children have nothing to do with each other ever again. However, it's possible for themselves to do tshuva. It's possible for themselves to do tshuva. If they find out themselves, they can do tshuva. Rus became the mother of Dovel HaMelech and of Mashiach. They themselves could find a derech, but you trying to convince them, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Reboruch Be'er, Zechrein and Levrocha. We're here. We're not here. We had this old.
When he came,
Zev Sivan brought this Talmud of Reboruch Be'er to the Shiva. Anyone remember?
Yeah.
And he said about Reboruch Be'er on traveling Reboruch Be'er to his daughter's chasna or something. And he had this apikoros. This guy went up to Derech on the carriage traveling with him. So Reboruch Be'er jumped off the carriage and he ran away. He ran off the carriage. He said, I can't be in the same carriage as this person. He left him here with all the women. He traveled with the women and they traveled himself. But he can't, it's not Shaykh. That's Lot. Okay.
Mom, is that saying that when you're doing your best to encourage someone and they turn against you in terms of the time of outside world and everything you just said now is greater than the influence you've had on them? You should just.
If he's a Shoyna Perish, if he's learnt, if he knows what Yiddishkeit is all about,
right.
And he starts saying there's old shitters and this and that, there's nothing you can do.
Let him find his own way back rather than.
Let him find his own way back, you're wasting your time.
So who's it? That's beautiful. Who's it from?
All over.
Yeah, is it from
all over. Not Darka Musa, no. Wow. It's from all over. This is Rav Aaron says this actually.
What?
Aaron Kotler says this.
Just which one?
The four stages.
No, the last stage. The stages are from different people. It's the fourth stage. Okay?
The Talmud of Baruch Be'er said that he got off the carriage when he saw that, when he spoke to Abi Kairos and run away into the dark, into the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as he can go.
Yeah. Reb Zelig was once, Reb Zelig Weinberg was once in the past with an Apikoris, a real Tzioni who mamish, he knew his stuff. And who was it? Who was with him? I think Bliski was with him. Bliski was with him. What happened there?
Bliski was right behind him.
And what happened? And he just kept quiet.
He kept quiet the whole time.
Yeah.
And then the guys were not answering anything. And then Zelig quoted
a apostle that to a fool you don't answer or something. So he called me a fool? Oh, yeah. This mamish is gone. He rambled on and on. Okay, so I just want to carry on two very quick things. I don't want to spend too much time over here. There's one Murdigavot of Meir Shapiro from Lublin. Meir Shapiro is the outside from Sunday.
Daphne.
Now, this vault, Rabbi Sai, probably if I have 10 most favourite vaults, this vault is one of my way up.
The top 10.
This is number
11. All time famous vault.
Tesvav Hey.
Top 3.
Hashem says to Avraham Avinu. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Tesvav Hey. The Yaitse Oisa Hachutza, which brother took Avraham Avinu outside. But Yoimer, said it last year?
No, I'm just saying.
But Yoimer said to him, this is Gavaldik. Habeina Hashemaimo. Go out, look at the sky. Usfar HaKechovim, have you heard this part before?
I think.
Usfar HaKechovim, count the stars. Im Tucha Lispor Oisom, can you count them? Vayoyim Eloi, and he said to him, Kor Yeh Zarach, so shall be your children. Asked Meir Shapiro, it doesn't, the pasuk doesn't flow. Hashem took him outside, Vayoyim Eloi, and Hashem said to him, count the stars, can you count them? And he said to him, so shall be your children. Why say to him, and he said to him, and he said to him twice? Why? Just say, took him outside, can you count the stars? And what's the idea? He says to him, count the stars, can you count them? So shall be your children. Just say, just like you can't count the stars, your children will be like that too. What? Count them? You can't count them? So shall be your children. Says Meir Shapiro, there was a conversation over here, a hidden conversation. A chesur mechser of a hochi ktoni. He says, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, go out and count the stars. So Avram Avinu goes outside and starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hashem says to him, Avram, are you crazy counting stars? How can you count stars? He says, I don't know, but you told me to. And like, since because you told me to, must be unable to. So I'm counting stars. So Hashem said to him, Koy Yeh Zarach, so your children do the same thing. In other words, Yidden are absolutely, totally disconnected with reality. Totally disconnected with reality. The need creates the reality, not the reality creates the possibility.
So there's a chasuri mechzer
term? That's what he's saying. It's a chasuri mechzer, not in the term of the Mishnais, but there's a hidden conversation in the pasuk. Don't measure your wants according to your capabilities, but your capabilities according to your wants. Hashem says, Kol Yeh Zarach, your children be the same. That if I tell them to do something, they won't start saying, thinking, is it possible, is it not possible, maybe, and let's do it. No, we do it. The impossible we do at once. Miracles take a little longer. We do it. Kol Yeh Zarach, that is the hidden power of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael do not work according to, let's calculate if it's Shayach B'chlal. If it's shayach, is it not shayach? You know, to work on so many hours sleep a night, to eat this kind of, you know, is it possible that, forget about it. Is it important? You do it. Where are you going to get the money from later? You've got to be at a level to actually really believe it. But that's not a Jew. A Jew doesn't work things out according to the amount of money he has and then work things out from there. If it's important, it gets done. If it's not important, it doesn't get done. That's Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro built the most beautiful yeshiva, Lublin Yeshiva. He started off Dafayemi with today hundreds of thousands of people learning Dafayemi who are doing the impossible. I take a balabos who's learning, he's working in a. He's a bookkeeper the whole day. Right? And he's going to go through Shas, he's going to know Shas, he's going to go through Shas 6-7 times in his lifetime? Come on. You have to learn Shas? So start learning Shas. Start counting. Start brachos. Start based on Madalas. That's Kol Yeh Zarach. That is a koyach of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael don't make sense. It doesn't figure. It doesn't work out. But that's who we are. We're so great. You cannot believe how great every single one of Klal Yisrael is. We so limit ourselves by the, comparing ourselves to the outside world. What can a 21-year-old guy do? You know, you look at your friends, 22, 23, 25, 26-year-old. What they're doing in the world? They make a bit of money. Okay, so I can learn a bit of Torah. We have no idea how great we are. What crazy things we can reach if you really want to reach them. You look amongst people who are phenomenal in growth. You know, we have a story. There's a book that Yeshiva bought. Thank you very much. The Klausenberger Rebbe, the war years. And you see a young Rebbe who lost 10 children. Who lost 10 children. His 10 children were lost. They were killed. 10 children and his wife. And he went through the Holocaust. And he never broke his Shabbos. And he never ate tarfus. And he started, left the war, and he got remarried, and he built a chassidus, a booming chassidus, a whole cities in Yerushalayim, in Netanya, in America. How is it possible? You're building a hospital and a whole... What, you're looking if it's possible first and then working from there? That's not Jewish. Jewish is, it has to be done, I do it. Unfortunately, you didn't have this drive in them, and they work crazy impossible things as well. I mean, the fifth wealthiest person in the world is Jewish. And they built up the whole Hollywood is built up by Jews, and the empire is money built up by Jews, and the mafia is built up by Jews, That is Jews. Jews have the power. We do the impossible, and later on we think about it later. That is Jewish. To make all calculations, obviously, you can't. There's a certain level of responsibility, but it shouldn't be taken too seriously. A person should not think too seriously about, you know, how can I make panossa. It should not be taken too seriously. To a certain extent, you have to do it. But to spend too much time doing it, that's not Jewish. It doesn't work out. How does a guy sit and learn? People ask me, go to Chutzlaritz, yeah? People ask me, I don't know, your family made chasna. Yeah, they made chasna. Tell me, the good Israeli thing is to buy dearest for the kids. Is that right? Yes. How do you buy dearest for your kids? How do you buy apartments for your kids here in Israel? Still my whole apartment, each one gets $120,000 only, for each one of the 10, 12 children. And he's living on a kollel wage, he's a magid shir or something. How did he do it? I don't know. But they do it. How do they do it? I've got no idea. They don't know themselves how they do it. But they do it. How's a guy in a mirror who's living with three or four kids, living on a mere wage, with paying $1,300 to $1,400 shekel, and he's teaching a bit here and his wife working a bit there? It doesn't work out. You work it down, make a calculation end of the month. It just doesn't work out. You're right. So welcome to the Jewish world. Things don't work out, but you do it anyway. You've got to be wild. You've got to be crazy. You have to be crazy. To become great, you've got to be crazy. You can't live in a little Yekisha limited world of... in a world of calculations. Of if it's possible, if you open the yeshiva only if you have X amount of money, then we start opening a yeshiva. And if you have X amount of money, we start employing... Avreichim, you commit yourself. What happens later on? Hashem, the biggest philanthropist, who owns the whole world, he'll throw you out. Okay, again, don't go absolutely mishuga. Bit of hishtadlus. But the hishtadlus you put into life is a joke. Everybody knows that you put in hishtadlus, it's poshut because you have to put in hishtadlus. It has nothing got to do with the outcome whatsoever. You go into the business world, you go into any world you want. The ishtadlus has nothing to do with the outcome. It's a chiyuv because Nebuchadnezzar, the chait of Adam Rishon, you've got to work in ishtadlus. Very sad, but it's nothing to do with the outcome. The more you push yourself, the more you grow, the more you strive for, koi yizarach, alas a koi yichol klal yisrael. Do we have time for one quick story?
Sure.
I think I said this last year, but I think it is a very, very amazing story. It's told us about the Blue Shiva Rebbe. The Blue Shiva Rebbe went through the Holocaust, and he has a whole sefer where he says in Shaydes and Chubas that came to him during the Holocaust. He's a very choshev yid. He happens to be my father-in-law's second cousin, and he died. He lived in New York. He died very old. He was 99. He was nifted in New York a few years back, but a tremendous gadol. And he said over the story, and he said it's a mitzvah to fasten this story. It's a mitzvah to tell this story over. It's a mitzvah. He says there's a story of a family called Hiller. A husband and a wife and a small child called Shachna. True story. Lived in Krakow in 1942. I've said the story over before, but it's those who haven't said it, it's a mitzvah to fasten, it's chazar. In 1942. At the time, the Germans are drafting people who were able to work into different camps, and the general rule was they never made it back. Okay, the shayla is it possible to get rid of to hide their son during the war? So they had an option to give their son to a non-Jewish family who they knew in Krakow called Yakovich. They're a childless family. And very closely connected, they loved the Hillers very much, and they realized the child would be safe there. And they gave the Yakovich a letter, and he said in the letter, "Do me a favor, when the war is finished, please send a letter to his uncle in America, and he'll see to it that he gets taken to America. Please, we're Jewish, and our belief is Jewish. Please make sure he stays Jewish. I know you may not be able to make glatt kosher." Cholent from every Shabbos, but make sure that he stays a Yid. On November 1942, Mrs. Hiller, at risk of her life, went through the Jewish quarter and exited the Jewish quarter, and went to non-Jewish quarter of Krakow and took the child to the friend Mr. Yakovich. So she gave two letters, one to a relative in Montreal and one in Washington D.C. Okay? Nebuch, the Hitlers were killed, and Mrs. Yakovich raised a child, and obviously the more you love the child, the more you want to save him from eternal death. So they raised the child as a religious Catholic, and every Sunday they take the child to Mass, and after the child started learning their hymns, and all intents and purposes the child became a proper Christian. In 1946 Mrs. Yakovich decided that it was time to baptize the child. So she took a child to the priest to be baptized. And he said, "Where's this child from? Your child, where did you adopt the child from?" And so she told him the whole story. The priest told her that she was acting incorrectly. That if the family trusted her with this Jewish child, she has no right to take this child and to make it into a Catholic. Which is totally against, you know, the whole concept of Catholicism. So on second thought, she really just can't make the Jewish child a Catholic. So she sent the letters to the family, and finally in June 1949, through the efforts of the Canadian Jewish Congress, the child, together with 13 other orphans from Poland, came to Canada. And in February 1951, through a special bill signed by President Truman, the boy came to the United States to his family in Washington, D.C. This boy grew up, and he became a frum Jew, and he became a vice president of a very large corporation, did very well for himself, and he always felt a debt of gratitude to Mrs. Yakovich, who actually saved his life, and also saved him to become a Yid. Finally, in 1978...
He went back to being a Yid, sorry?
No, he became a frum Yid, and he became a very wealthy frum Yid. This is Shachna. In 1978, Mrs. Yakovich, who was getting older, wrote a letter to him, telling him for the first time that she was on the decision that she had and what happened the whole way through. And the letter she wrote, the name of the parish priest who convinced her otherwise, Carol Rojtilia, more commonly known as Pope John Paul II. The Blues of Forever said that although we're not privy to God's ways, we can perhaps speculate that God chose to reward this young parish priest for his noble action by raising him to leadership as a pope. This is, we learn from this parasha, Vayoveh HaPolit. Vayoveh HaPolit. Vayoveh HaPolit. Who's a polit? Polit was Og Melech HaBoshon, who came to tell Avram Avinu that Lot was captured. Why did he tell Lot was captured? In order that Avram Avinu should get killed, and he can marry Sarah. No, doesn't matter, makes no difference. The fact that he did a good deed, Og Melech HaBoshon lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and Moshe Rabbeinu was scared to fight him because of that schus. We never know what schus can do. Never what a small schus can do. We can never know how great we are. But we've got to be able to work on change. We've got to be able to work, to learn, to forget about the dazzle, to concentrate on what we're doing and to become great. To move upwards, to move along, to build a support system around ourselves. To invest, to start things and to finish them. And that way our both sides will become, like Kosh Baruch Hu promised us, Ko Yir Zarecha.
Oh, yeah?
Very good.